If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. This is the Voice Over Work podcast brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at The Gift of Grit. Unleash the power of passion and perseverance. Rewire your beliefs, build resilience, and achieve your long-term goals. Personal Mastery Series, Book 2, written by Saum Bothla, narrated by Russell Newton. Chapter 1, Grit, the Strongest Predictor of Success. Nothing in this world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. Calvin Coolidge. You're probably wondering by now, what is it about grit that separates it from other traditional indicators of success? You might be thinking, what about all the other factors you've been hearing, claiming that they lead to your success? It's easy to see how IQ can lead to greater achievement. After all, the ability to comprehend new information quickly and tie it into your existing knowledge base can give you a tremendous competitive advantage. Similarly, being able to deal smartly with people can enable you to accomplish a high degree of organic leadership that can open up many opportunities for you. But by now, you'd have understood already that grit doesn't involve any of these. Then what makes it so special? What accounts for its potency? Is it some recent breakthrough invention that has some magical impact on your success? For that, let's try to go deeper and understand the genesis of this. The term grit was popularized by researcher Angela Duckworth through her research on the subject, followed by her great book named Grit, The Power of Passion and Perseverance. But history shows that the ideals of persistence and tenacity have existed as virtues since Aristotle. In modern times, the concept of grit can be tracked back to Galton, who in 1889 wrote that the most eminent individuals in society are typically blessed with talent, zeal, and a capacity for hard labor. Cox, 1926, later identified common traits of 300 geniuses, highlighting their perseverance, tenacity, and doggedness. The 1985 study, Success in College, continued this vein of thought, demonstrating evidence that purposeful, continuous commitment to certain activities was the best predictor of success in college. Willingham, 1985. Therefore, grit, perseverance with passion to stick to long-term goals, isn't entirely a new concept. Persistence and tenacity have already been identified as the key tenets for achievement. What Duckworth has contributed to the modern world is the depth of research evidencing how grit trumps all other factors when it comes to long-term adherence to your goals. In one of her studies at United States Military Academy, a four-year training academy famously known as West Point Military, she studied 1,200 new cadets to assess the factors which predict who stayed in military training and which ones dropped out. The new cadets training for the first years is known as Beast Barracks, which is a seven-week infamous training in which they'd toil in the classroom and on the field for 17 hours every day without a break. Many would drop out. Duckworth wanted to find out why some cadets managed to endure this challenge while others just gave up. In her book, She writes that researchers had been trying to solve this puzzle for more than 50 years. But even the school's best means of screening its applicants, known as whole candidate score, a weighted mixture of a student's scholastic assessment test. Chapter 2. Grit outperforms self-discipline and resilience. Grit is not just having resilience in the face of failure, but also having deep commitments that you remain loyal to over many years. Angela Duckworth. Grit versus self-discipline. You might be thinking that grit sounds suspiciously similar to the ability to control one's impulses, i.e., self-discipline. As you've probably heard, if you want to be successful in any way, shape, or form, you have to have the ability to control yourself. This means you're not going to let your emotions get the better of you when you're making a decision. This also means you're going to have a long-term view of a particular decision. We're always given a choice between doing things that pay off immediately or belatedly. For example, laziness pays off instantly. Working hard, on the other hand, pays off in the end. You can choose to play video games, or you can choose to study for law school admissions. You can choose to go drinking with your buddies, or you can spend time preparing your medical school application. I hope you see the dichotomy here in regards to quick payoffs. Delayed gratification is all about having a long enough view of the future so that you realize that by avoiding instant payoffs now and putting in the work, you stand to gain better rewards in the future. While you may not have a good time now because you're not going out drinking or doing drugs with your friends, it pays off tremendously once you finish your education for CPA or a law school and you're making $200,000 a year working for a big corporate house. In other words, you have an idea of the massive difference between payoffs you can enjoy today and payoffs that scale exponentially over time when you choose to work on your future today. That's delayed gratification. And this is where the confusion comes in, because a lot of people are thinking that delayed gratification and the self-discipline that it requires is the same as grit. While it is true that self-discipline is crucial to delayed gratification, and delayed gratification usually leads to success, this is not the same as grit. While you must regulate your focus, desires, and actions despite whatever temptations you face or the shortcomings that materialize, this is not grit. Self-discipline is required on a day-to-day basis. It plays out on a micro level. Either you did something pleasurable, but leads to very shallow rewards, or you did something fairly uncomfortable or inconvenient, which leads to greater rewards that scale up over time. That's the kind of choice you make when you are exercising self-discipline in the context of delayed gratification. This happens day to day on an immediate level. Either you delay gratification today or you don't. Each day you delay gratification, however, the success that you stand to collect in the future gets bigger and bigger. The key difference between self-discipline and grit is that self-discipline involves immediacy. Self-discipline is immediate. It has to happen right now because you're either delaying your gratification right now or you're not. Grit, on the other hand, is long-term and focuses on the big picture. It's the ability to stick to your goals and commitment to action despite setbacks. Self-control is required when there's a conflict between two possible action tendencies, i.e. impulses, one corresponding to a momentarily alluring but unworthy goal, and the other corresponding to a more valued goal whose benefits are deferred in time. Chapter 3. Six steps to build personal grit. Grit is that mix of passion, persistence, perseverance, and self-discipline that keeps us moving forward in spite of obstacles. It's not flashy, and that's precisely the point. In a world in which we're frequently distracted by sparkly displays of skill, grit makes the difference in the long run. Daniel Coyle. In this chapter, I'm going to give you an overview of how you can build grit. Again, to recap what we discussed earlier, there is no official, scientific, bulletproof way to build grit. And this should come as no surprise, Because grit ultimately is a choice, and it's personal, as I've already emphasized enough at the start of this book. That in itself should tell you that there is no one-size-fits-all solution to building grit. There is no one path that would work for all people at all times in all circumstances. Instead, the framework that you're going to follow to build grit must take into account what's special or different with your life. In other words, you have to take full ownership of it. You have to customize it and mix and match it with whatever else is going on in your life, as well as your past experiences. However, before you move ahead to list out the framework or steps to build grit, let's understand what is considered as must-have to build grit. Prerequisites for building grit. The gritty people have four psychological assets necessary in common. As researcher Duckworth suggests, they strive to cultivate these four things, namely, interest, practice, purpose, and hope. 1. Interest. You need to be intrinsically drawn to something. That means that something should pull you toward it. It's because you're not going to put in the required sustained effort if you're only and just interested in something, or you're doing it merely because someone else wants you to do it. You need to have a passionate interest. There are two kinds of passions, firework passion and compass passion. While the former passion is just sporadic, it comes and goes. On the other hand, the compass passion is something that guides you through life. You need to have compass passion toward what you want to achieve. The grittiest people have something they love to do. 2. Practice. Passion alone isn't enough. You can't passionately sit and just read more and more about what you are passionate about. You need to put the real work every day. That means every single day. You need to design your life around your passion. That's what gritty people do. You must be ready to improve your skills, regardless of how well you currently perform. Gritty people know that to achieve their big, hairy, audacious goals, BHAGs, as Jim Collins states, they need to become expert and masters in whatever they do. 3. Purpose. Without purpose, one may not be able to carry on their interest for a long time. Gritty people have a purpose much bigger than themselves. If you want a mature passion and sustainable grit, your purpose needs to be bigger than yourself. You can't be motivated enough for life if your purpose is just to show off your six-pack abs or clicking selfies with your new big house or car. That purpose that is limited to only you is not... Chapter 4. Five toxic mindsets that kill grit. Compared with what we ought to be, we're only half awake. Our fires are damped. Our drafts are checked. We're making use of only a small part of our possible mental resources. William James. Before we get into the process to building grit, please understand there are certain mindsets that will destroy your ability to build grit. That's right. You're not even going to make much progress developing this trait unless you get rid of unwanted mindsets. These mindsets undermine your ability to focus. They also lead you to waste precious mental and emotional resources that you could otherwise devote to building grit. Toxic mindset number 1. Sense of entitlement. When people feel life has to be fair, or that they have to start any kind of project at the top, they have a sense of entitlement. And let me tell you, this is the most toxic attitude and mindset you could ever adopt, because nothing's going to happen. Life has always been unfair. That's always been the case. And people who have been successful had to deal with this reality. They did not wish it away. They did not waste precious time trying to make things right. Instead, they chose to deal with reality the way it exists, instead of the way they wish it existed. So, instead of focusing on how things should be, focus on how things are and keep your eyes on the prize. Otherwise, it's very easy for you to feel like a victim. There are two types of people in life. There are victims and there are victors. Victims sit around asking what happened. Victors, on the other hand, make things happen. This doesn't change the fact that life will always remain unfair. The only question that begs to be asked is, what are you going to do about it? So please understand, you are not entitled to respect. Respect has to be earned. You're not entitled to victory. Victory is paid for by pain, sacrifice, and oftentimes, betrayal. That's just the way life is. The sooner you understand how life works, the sooner you'll be able to step up and deal with it accordingly. Otherwise, you'll continue to get beaten down again and again until your will is broken. The vast majority of people are born with tremendous potential. We all have the potential to be the next Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, or Elon Musk, but most of us never choose to go that route. We either let ourselves get defeated by the disconnect between how we think things should be and how they really are. When you consistently do that, you're only making things harder on yourself. Toxic mindset number two, short-term mindset. People with this type of mindset believe that they need to get rich quickly. They believe that the moment they put in some sort of effort, they're entitled to instant results. Short-term mindsets have destroyed otherwise brilliant people throughout history. These people have the potential to really change the world for the better. They have the IQ, they have the emotional quotient, they have the social skills. But the problem is, their time horizon is so short that they're always looking for the instant payout. And when this doesn't happen, they lose heart. They become discouraged, and they play all sorts of mental games with themselves. They either convince themselves that the goal simply was not worth it to begin with, or the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. In other words, they come up with all sorts of justifications and excuses that deflect their focus. Chapter 5. Energize the power of belief. One person with a belief is equal to a force of 99 who have only interest. John Stuart Mill. The first step in building grit, as guided by the growth mindset approach, involves the power of belief. Belief is crucial to building grit. If you don't believe in the right things, it's going to be almost impossible for you to hang on to your big goals in life. It would be very hard for you to focus on the big picture because, ultimately, you don't believe you'll be able to achieve it. Somehow, some way, you believe you don't have what it takes to go all the way. You have to understand that your ability to control what you choose to believe in impacts grit. Belief, just like grit, is a choice. You can choose to believe in certain things and choose to be skeptical about other things. A lot of people are under the impression that if they grow up with parents who believe in certain things, that somehow, some way, their parents' beliefs get passed on to them. This is not true. There is no such thing as belief by osmosis. You can't just passively absorb your previous generation's beliefs. Instead, this is all a choice. You can choose whether to believe what your parents believe, not just about God, but about everything else in life. You can choose your values. These are not handed to you by your parents with no choice on your part. It is always a choice. It's important to keep this in mind because a lot of people are under the impression that somehow belief can be passively absorbed. This is not true. Because if you truly believe that, then you really don't have any control over your life. You're essentially a meat puppet because somebody you do not control can somehow beam these beliefs to you, and you just passively accept it with no control over the process. It doesn't work that way. You can be quite passive about it and just sit back and let everything in. But even doing that is a choice made by you. There is always an element of choice there. You would decide. What is belief? Belief is the mental acceptance that certain things are facts. Belief is the state of mind in which a person thinks something to be the case, with or without there being experimental evidence to prove that something is the case with factual certainty. Simply, A belief defines an idea or principle which we judge to be true. Belief is just our judgment about a particular thing or person. For example, you may believe that a person is arrogant simply because he or she doesn't talk much, whereas the factual position could be that the person might be an introverted one. But you continue to believe in your idea until it's proven false. That's the way belief system works. One of the world's best-known skeptics and critical thinkers, Michael Shermer, also the author of The Believing Brain, From Spiritual Faiths to Political Convictions, How We Construct Beliefs and Reinforce Them as Truths, has explored into the reasoning of why people believe anything at all. The summary of his thesis is straightforward, as he states below. We form our beliefs for a variety of subjective, personal, emotional, and psychological reasons in the context of environments created by family, friends, colleagues, culture, and society at large. After forming our beliefs, we then defend, justify, and rationalize them. Chapter 6. Strengthen and rewire your belief system. A belief is not merely an idea the mind possesses. It is an idea that possesses the mind. Robert Bolton. As I've mentioned in a previous chapter, intellectually accepting something on the surface is not enough. Things may fall into place in your mind, but until you change your behavior because of what you choose to believe, nothing will change. Belief, just by itself, isn't going to change your life. It must impact your actions. The stories on the power of belief in the previous chapter highlight that once you deeply imbibe a belief, the fact you believe something is true triggers you to take the different types of actions, and those actions have the power to change your life. Again, to emphasize the truth, belief by itself will lead to nothing if it just stays in your head. Intellectual level belief doesn't do much. You need a level of emotional urgency, which pushes you to change your actions. When you truly believe in something, it starts a chain reaction because it never operates in a vacuum. One question is usually tied to other issues. Your belief becomes a reality. It has an outward manifestation because now people have something that they can detect. It's not just happening in your mind. You're not just kicking around ideas. You're no longer in the world of theory. The harsh reality is the world doesn't care about your feelings. Once you take action, then, only then, will the world take notice. The world is objective. It only pays attention to results. It couldn't care less what you think you could have done, should have done, or would have done. It doesn't care about your regrets, guilt, or remorse unless these change your actions. The world is all about action. Belief grows when you practice it. How do you grow your belief? How do you engage your power of belief? It all boils down to allowing yourself to be challenged. Put yourself in the position where your belief is called into question. For example, if you believe you're a good swimmer, put yourself in a situation where people can question your swimming abilities. Usually, it takes the form of competition. At that point, you really have only two choices. You can start believing their negative impressions of your skills as a swimmer, or you can choose to believe you're a good swimmer. If you choose to continue to believe in your abilities, then this means that you're going to continue to practice, you're going to continue to compete, and you're going to try to prove them wrong. This strengthens your belief because you focus your actions on achieving results that would support what you choose to believe about yourself. But guess what? It only takes one yes for your belief about you to be strengthened and reinforced. It only takes one yes for you to get the energy and the faith you need to try again and again. You have to put yourself in a position where your belief is called into question and you choose to continue believing. Believe me, there's nothing fun about being rejected. But if you believe that you have something positive to contribute to an organization, then you would go on one job interview after another. You would continue to take rejection after rejection, but it wouldn't matter. You truly believe that you have something to offer, so you go on one job interview after another, until you land that job. That's the power of faith. Your belief grows when you take action on it. It doesn't always lead to a happy result. Oftentimes, you get hit with a rejection, and they come in waves. Chapter 7. Incorporate your big goals into your identity. Only one who devotes himself to a cause with his whole strength and soul can be a true master. For this reason, mastery demands all of a person. Albert Einstein. Please understand, if you have a big vision or plan for your life, it's very hard for you to consistently work toward it if it's all floating out there. If you think your big ambition in life is just something that's outside of you or something that would be nice to see happen, it's anybody's guess whether you'd actually achieve it. Even if you follow the previous steps you learned so far, you're still going to fall short. You have to be so emotionally invested in your big picture goal or your big goals that they become a part of who you are. If it's something you can easily turn your back on or easily leave on the table, then chances are there will be other, more pressing stuff to take care of. That's just how the human mind works. Your big picture goal cannot remain outside of you. When somebody is wishing, dreaming, and hoping, this person is basically engaging in a mental exercise. They're thinking of their life now and what it could be like in the future. They're thinking of possibilities and what changes they would like. This is all important, but something's missing. It isn't personal enough yet. The stakes are not high enough because if you can think of alternate realities, you're essentially just watching a movie in reverse. When you watch a movie, you suspend your disbelief and you allow the creator of that movie to feed your mind with an alternative reality. You sit back for a couple of hours, enjoy yourself, and then go on with the rest of your life. When you're wishing, hoping, and dreaming, you're doing the same thing. But instead of somebody giving you some sort of canned entertainment, you provide the script yourself. You provide the visuals, you provide the movie, but it's still a movie. At some point, you're going to get up, stop the movie, and go on with the rest of your life. Later on, you'll play another movie, then another movie after that. This is how wishes, dreams, and hopes play out. Now, don't get me wrong. They are personal to a certain extent. They do make you feel really good. For example, if you're unemployed right now and you're struggling to pay the rent, it would be great if you could sit back and daydream about becoming a millionaire. Wouldn't it be awesome to have loads of money in your bank account? Wouldn't it be great to drive around in your dream car? When you engage in this visualization, however, the main benefit is you're getting a temporary relief from the harsh reality you're living out right now. But the problem is, you're not planning on working toward achieving your goals. Rather, you're just playing a mental movie that transports you from having to deal with the reality facing you. But you've to be cautious here. You're not building grit when you do this. Instead, you are anesthetizing yourself from taking action. The more you daydream, the less likely it would be for you to actually act on a plan. I hope this is clear, because there's a big difference between just wishing, hoping, and dreaming instead of buckling up and planning to make your goals and vision come true. Because grit requires action. Your personal goals and vision must be part of who you are. They need to be deeply ingrained in your identity. This requires you to take ownership of your big picture or ultimate goal. There has to be some sort of do. Chapter 8. Effective ways to deal with adversities. Life is not about how fast you run or how high you climb, but how well you bounce. Vivian Kamori. Believe it or not, people with a lot of grit thought about the worst-case scenario and have grown to accept it. They would think about what the worst possible outcome would be as they pursue their big goal. They go through the list of disasters, disappointments, and letdowns. They sort through all sorts of nightmare scenarios, and at the end of the day, they say, "I'll take it." They made peace with the possible outcomes. They would say to themselves, What's the worst case scenario that could happen? How bad could it be? And they dream up all sorts of exaggerated scenarios. But at the end of the day, they decide whatever they stand to gain is much more valuable, precious, and worthwhile than what they stand to lose. This is crucial. You have to do this as you train your eyes on your big goal. Earlier in the book, you learned about the web of assumptions you have for you to keep working on your big goal. The good news is, the more you believe in these secondary beliefs and more you strengthen these assumptions, the stronger your faith in your big goal becomes. It becomes harder and harder to throw you off. Your resolve gets stronger as you act on these smaller beliefs, because when they start producing results and you can see that they pan out, that they are worth believing in, your faith in your big goal gets stronger and stronger. Sounds awesome, right? But there's one thing that will jeopardize all of this. Unfortunately, it's so easy to do because it's so tempting. What is the worst thing you can do at this stage? Well, you may start assuming that reaching your big goal will be quick and easy. Maybe you started seeing great results and you would assume that since these results are coming in waves, it's only a matter of short time now until you get to your big goal very quickly. You mistake a positive pattern for a quick, easy, and painless elevator ride to the top. Regardless of how you come about this mindset, assuming that you will reach your big goal quickly and easily will kill your grit. It really will, because you have to understand that grit is the personal, mental, and emotional stamina needed to keep hanging on despite the setbacks, disappointments, and pain of your success journey. The hits keep coming, but you keep stepping. You keep moving forward. You may get pushed back, so you move sideways and then forward. You get slapped around and knocked back, so you get back on your feet and then slide around to try to move forward. If that doesn't work, you try something else. And again it goes. The problem is, if you assume your big goal will now be quick and easy because a lot of things started to pan out and a lot of your secondary beliefs led to easy wins, your grit starts to evaporate. You start developing an entitlement mentality, which is a state of mind where you start to believe the privileges endowed upon you are your right. This mental cancer will get the better of you. You have to do yourself a big favor and catch yourself if you start assuming that just because you hit a nice, smooth patch, that everything else will proceed smoothly. Because if you believe that, you are really saying to yourself that you deserve a smooth ride. It'll be disheartening to know, but nobody deserves a pass on the rough road to success. It's narrow and hard for a reason. That's why relatively few people achieve it. Chapter 9. Self-sustaining daily mechanisms to stay on track. One small crack doesn't mean that you're broken. It means that you were put to rest and you didn't fall apart. Linda Poindexter. Analyze your major daily activities in relation to your big goal. You have to make this a habit. When you sit down to take care of your daily to-do list, always ask yourself, how does this get me closer to my big goal? This should be the key filter you ask yourself on a consistent basis. Look at what you learn on an everyday basis and how it can produce seeds or tools that would enable you to reach your big goal. The great thing about doing this is that you not only remind yourself of your big goal, but you keep drilling it into the daily fabric of your life. Your major daily activities do not escape linking with your big goal. Keep in mind that the fit may not be obvious. It might not jump at you at first, but the more you analyze your major daily activities, the closer you'll be able to make the association. Spot daily wins and how they relate to your big goal. People achieve something every day. Now, it may not be that big of a deal to other people, but it can be a big deal to you. Look for your daily achievements. Again, this does not have to be dramatic. You don't have to be some sort of hero. It can be something as basic as taking care of your to-do list and knocking them all out. It can be something as basic as finishing a report that you've been procrastinating. Whatever the case may be, identify these and ask yourself, how did this experience help me get closer to my goal? Put in another way, is there anything I learned from this achievement that would help me get closer to my big goal? Spot daily challenges and how overcoming them relate to your big goal. You can also do this in reverse. You can also look at how your daily challenges can help you stay focused on your big goal. At the very least, you can see how your solutions to your daily challenges can help you get closer to your goal. Do you spot any changes you need to make? Can you brainstorm any solutions that will help you get out from under your daily challenges? See how these can relate to you achieving your big goal. The key. When you're always looking at your daily activities, achievements, victories, defeats, and challenges from the perspective of your big goal, your goal gives you meaning and purpose. It seems that every step you take is in relation to your goal. Every move you make has something to do with your goal. This is crucial for grit building because not only do you realize, in a very practical day-to-day way, that you always have a choice over the things that happen in your life, but it also reminds you your goal gives you meaning and purpose. Ultimately, this is all about allowing yourself to get pumped up by the fact that you have something you're working for. There is a purpose to you waking up every single day. There is a point for you solving problems so you can go on to the next one and the one after that. You have a personal North Star. This is crucial for building grit because nothing is set in stone. You're not just going through the motions. The results are not predestined or foreordained. You're actively in the mix. You have something to say about your destiny. This has been The Gift of Grit. Unleash the power of passion and perseverance. Rewire your beliefs. Build resilience and achieve your long-term goals. Personal Mastery Series, Book 2. Written by Saum Bahla. Narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2018 by Saum Bahla. Production copyright by Saum Bahla. Please be sure to visit Amazon.com or Audible.com for more information on this book and the author. Show notes and further information can be found at RussellEricNewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.